Amen. Let's go to John 3. We'll do John 3:16 and then John 13. Let's read in John 3, verses 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And in John 13, beginning with verse 34 in the Amplified Bible, Jesus said, I give you a new commandment that you should love one another. Just as I have loved you, so you too should love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another, if you keep on showing love among yourselves. Amen. That's the key. It's hard to condemn and love at the same time. You know, I've never tried, but just in thinking about it, I don't see how you can do it. You can either love someone or you can condemn them. We've already gotten our instructions, but the choice is ours. That's what we're going to do with those instructions. Look at 1 Thessalonians. I'm going to share verse 18 and a few different translations. Well, maybe I'll share it in the King James also. 1 Thessalonians 5. Let's see. 1 Thessalonians 5, 18. We can read it together first in the King James. In everything give thanks. Is everyone there? Is everyone in the King James? That's right. Let's read it. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Or you could say concerning me. Contemporary English version says, listen to this. Whatever happens, keep thanking God because of Jesus Christ. This is what God wants you to do. The Amplified Bible says, thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstance may be. Be thankful and give thanks, for this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus, the revealer and mediator of that will. And the Message Bible says, be cheerful no matter what. Be cheerful no matter what. Pray all the time. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you who belong to Christ Jesus to live. That's the way he wants us to live. See, according to those verses, no matter what comes, no matter what happens, no matter what afflictions, no matter what antagonizes, regardless of anything, we're not only to be thankful, we're to live thankful, a life of thankfulness. That's what he expects. No matter what, we're to live a life of thankfulness. It says, be cheerful no matter what. This is the way, be thankful. This is the way God wants you who belong to Christ Jesus to live. How many of you belong to Christ? Right? Then we should be walking around being thankful regardless of what comes. Instead, we allow our days. We'll wake up in the morning, and first of all, if the alarm clock doesn't go off, we already wake up stressed out now, because now we're late. Now we're late. How many, when that happens, you give thanks, you thank God for the delay? You think, okay, no. We get upset. Things we say, God, why didn't you wake me up? Okay. And we don't stop to think, well, maybe there was a reason for it. But even if we don't think that, we get up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this day. You know. And you can thank him for getting up. And the only reason I don't say that much is because we make death sound so horrible, you know, and we're always praising God that we're on this side. And then we wonder why people grieve when somebody dies. You know, I mean, being here means that God still has work for us to do, and he's not quite ready yet for us to go home. So thank you that you trust me and that you and that you believe that I'm going to accomplish what you want for me to accomplish today. And when my time is up, thank you that I finally get to go home. I mean, those need to be our attitudes about things. It'll help eliminate all the mourning and the grieving that people do when a loved one, quote unquote, goes home to be with the Lord. That's a good thing. Okay, just in case, that's a good thing. All right. So no matter what happens, we're supposed to give thanks. And I looked this up, and it says, saying thanks or thank you expresses gratitude, it expresses appreciation, and it expresses an acknowledgement. And I personally believe that as the church, saying thank you is a very strong expression of faith. Because what we're saying to God is, I believe that you're going to do or you have done everything that you said. So no matter what comes, thank you. Thank you. Not griping, not complaining, but just giving him thanks because of who he is. You thank God with a grateful feel. You know that song we sing, give thanks with a grateful heart? I mean, I don't think I can give thanks with any other kind of heart and be genuine. So in order to give thanks, you have to be grateful to what has been provided, even if you don't see it. And I'm going to show you something about that toward the end, about seeing it. Just remember 6:36 p.m., okay? So when I tell you, with the 6:36 p.m., I'll tell you what that is, all right? See, so when we think about the season, the holiday of Thanksgiving, not only do we forget the spiritual aspect of it, but we forget the original purpose of it. It wasn't for everybody to just get together and get fat and, you know, watch the football games and watch the basketball games and sit in front and play Wii or PS2 or whatever else it is. And then when dinner time comes, like, okay, no, nobody can eat, and everybody has to say one thing that they're thankful for. Okay. I'm thankful we have all this food to eat. You know? I'm thankful that grandma made her apple pie. You know? No, we've totally missed the mark. First of all, if we only took that one day to say thank you, we've already missed the mark. But we need to understand that if anything, it's a time you wake up in the morning giving thanks, you go through your day giving thanks, and you lay your head down and you fall asleep giving thanks. Because you're just thankful for everything that he's done. And you look at it and say, but I don't have much. You'd be thankful for what you have. Because no matter what it is you think you might not have, there's someone out there that has even less. I mean, just in thinking about the scripture that we read for the ministry of giving. I don't know how it feels to be desperately poor. But that's how the scripture defined the Macedonians. They were desperately poor, yet pleading for the opportunity to assist those that were only poor. See, they weren't assisting folks that were desperately, they're desperately poor, and they're just so thankful, and they just want to give whatever they have, more than they can afford to give, to help out in the relief of poor folks. I mean, you can't do things like that, griping and complaining because you don't think you have enough for yourself. You do that because you've realized that my God shall supply all my need, so whatever you can do to help someone out, you're willing to do. You'll give your last because you know, even though it's your last, you're not finished. Because more is coming. So when's it going to come? When you need it. So, well, I need it now. No, you want it now. Okay. You want it now. Because if you needed it now, guess what? It would be there. So when those situations come, you just throw your hands in the air and you say thank you. I remember I was so glad that my fiance at that time was now Deacon Phyllis. She was working for this company, and she was a merchandiser. She'd go into supermarkets and she'd have to get shelf space with all these Chef Boyardee products and things. And I got a birthday present from my job that gave me the day off and called me and said they phased out my position in me. Happy birthday to me. And I'm brand new. I am. I mean, I received Jesus Christ on November 18th. This is November 5th. Okay. That's how young I was. And I would just fall down on my knees. I was just introduced to this ministry. I was introduced to Pastor Clinton's music. And he had this song, "You'll Take Care of Me and You Promise Me." And I know I've told you this before. I'm down on my knees, tears streaming down my face, whining out, "You promised me. That's why I never fret." Okay, you know. I'm telling you. I'd walk around saying, "You can't go back on your word. You can't go back on your word. I have assurance. You'll take care." I mean, that's what I'm saying. Because I have no clue as where anything is coming from. And then Phyllis comes by. He said, "I want to see if you're okay." And I'm like, "I'm okay. I'm fine. God's got this. He's got this." You know, I said, "It's all new to me. I'm not used to this, but God's got it." And I remember hearing that, you know, that I'm not going to be tempted more than I'm able to bear. So if I'm going through this, I'll handle it. I'll get through this. And since she comes in, she said, I want to know, I don't know if you like this, but, you know, when cans get dented from being dropped or whatever, the merchandise, they take them off the shelf and throw them away. They throw them away, all right? It's not bad, you know, unless if it breaks and, you know, that's because the can is swollen. But, no, if it's just dented, you know, people, how many of you like to buy dented cans? Exactly. So she had this box. Chef Boyardee ravioli, beefaroni, you know, spaghetti and meatballs. and I'm like, "Thank you, God. I got food." Okay. And I'd open those cans. And I'm telling you, growing up, I would take a whipping before I would eat beefaroni and all of the other canned stuff. You talk about one thankful guy. I was like, "Thank you, God. Bring it on." Well, he was providing. He was providing. You know. And so what am I going to do? Not be thankful because they were bent cans? Maybe it would have been better if I wanted ravens to bring me roadkill. Okay. But he provided. Because, yeah, I was angry at the company, but I didn't curse them. I didn't, quote unquote, sick God on them. I'm like, "God, I just learned," because I did, "I just learned that you'll take care of me, and I thank you for this opportunity." I mean, that's all I knew to say. I didn't know anything else. Well, I should say I refused to do anything else. You know, thoughts of revenge and retaliation, different things tried to enter my head. I'm not going to stand here and lie like it didn't. But I'm like, "No, I'm going to be thankful." This is what the Phillips translation says. "Be thankful whatever the circumstance may be. If you follow this advice, you will be working out the will of God expressed to you in Jesus Christ." It's by being thankful. No matter what comes, no matter what happens, I know, how many of you know how it feels to stub your little toe? Okay. Thank you, Lord, is not what you want to say. Okay. But you stub your toe and you start hopping around, thank you, Lord Jesus, thank you that my toe is healed. It's not, you'd be amazed how fast the pain goes away. You'll be amazed because you're just giving, you, what we're going to see in a moment, there's power associated with everything God asks us to do. So there's power associated with just giving thanks. Just giving thanks to him. He said, see that none of you repays another with evil for evil, but always aim to show kindness and seek to be good to one another and to everybody. Be happy in your faith and rejoice and be glad, content, glad-hearted continually. Be unceasing in prayer. Thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstance may be. Be thankful and give thanks. That's what the Amplified says. I just want to read more of that to you. See, in Matthew 15, folks were hungry. They'd been about 3 days or so without food. Jesus was, you see, you think that sometimes Pastor Red and I go a little longer? Jesus went for 3 days. Okay. I heard that, thank goodness. Well, at least you said thank. But when Jesus took the 7 loaves, some say 5 loaves and 2. He took the loaves. It wasn't enough to feed all those people in the natural. The first thing he did was give thanks. He gave thanks. And after he gave thanks, he gave them to his disciples to give to the people. All of those people fed with those few loaves and even less fish. Why? Because Jesus gave thanks. What do you think would have happened if Jesus had a different attitude about it? If he's like, this is it? This is all you got? Well, just do the best you can. You know, I don't know what else to tell you. No, he gave thanks. Why did he give thanks? He knew the people were hungry. He knew they had to eat. And he knew his Father would provide for their every need. And he wasn't concerned with the method. He wasn't concerned with what it looked like. He wasn't even concerned with what he had in his hands. There was nothing in the natural that said this should work. But he gave thanks. And it worked. Everybody ate. Not to the point where they weren't hungry anymore. They ate till they were full. Okay. Ate till they were full. And then there was more left over. More left over. Why? He gave thanks. That's why. When he was outside of Lazarus' tomb, he said, I thank you that you have heard me. I'm like, heard what? Look, go with me to John 11, please. I'm just going to read just a couple of verses on our way down to verse 41. Verse 11, these things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of his sleep. And then the folks were thinking, you know, well, hey, if he's just taking a rest, what's the big deal? You'll wake him up. Verse 14, then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. In verse 23, he said to Martha, your brother shall rise again. And she said, I know in the last day in the resurrection, verse 25, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Then he asks her a question. Do you believe this? And so now he's standing outside the tomb, and they pull it away, and he's been in there 4 days. And he says, now he said to Martha, said I not unto thee that thou wouldest believe, thou should see the glory of God? And then he looked up and said, Father, I thank you. Because he believed that God had already did everything he just said. So he said, thank you. He didn't give one of those prayers that we get, Father, if this is in your will, you know, or if you find me worthy, I'm standing here in front of all these people saying what you said. Now, if you don't do it, I'm going to look silly. He just said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. He said, but then I know that you always hear me. But I'm saying this so that the people will know. Will know that you sent me. And so that we'll know that it's important to always give thanks. And then he said, Lazarus, come forth. And you know what happened? Lazarus came forth. But see, one of the reasons it's so important to give thanks, I want to write because I don't want to misquote myself. I said earlier, it is a statement of faith. You're saying you really believe that you receive something. It's just like if I walked up to you and gave you a $20 bill, you'd take it and you'd say, thank you. Because you received it. You know you have it in your hands. Well, that's the attitude we need to have about everything God says. That we have it already in our hands, so we say, thank you. If I don't believe it, I don't say thank you. See, when I fail to give God thanks, I'm saying, I don't believe I have what you said in this situation. I don't believe it. Sometimes we won't thank God for a healing because we're waiting for the manifestation. So we won't say thank you. And the manifestation seems to tarry. And we're wondering what's happening. Well, you're not believing that you received it. Because if you believed it, you would say, thank you. All right. If I can't say thank you to God, I don't believe what he said. So I won't act like I believe what he said. And if I don't believe what he said, do I really believe that he is? I have to think about that. Because if I can say thank you to God, I must believe God exists and has done what he said. Now, if I can't say thank you, then that's saying I don't believe God did what he said he did. If I don't believe God did what he said he already did, maybe he doesn't exist. I don't know. All I know is this is what I read and this is what I see, so it must not be a God. Well, there's no faith in there. So when I say thank you, I'm making a proclamation of my faith that I believe that God did exactly what he said for me. I believe that. When I thank him for you, I believe he did exactly what he said concerning you. And that belief is not based on these eyes or these ears. It's only based on what God has said. I believe it, so I say it. And I act like I believe it. So you'll go on. We believe that you guys were coming for service. We prepared for it. I mean, if we didn't believe you, you'd show up and we'd be on our way. We'd say, oh, you guys are really coming tonight? We didn't know. You believed we were going to be here to have service because you came. I'm not aware, Deb, did the office get any phone calls or anyone calling them to make sure we were having service? No. Everybody came. The question is, And don't ask. I'm going to say it this way so I won't even see a facial expression. Okay. But how many of you, when you thought about you going to church tonight, you gave thanks? Okay. Can I turn around now? Okay. We didn't get it. We got church again on Wednesday. I'm tired. I mean, that's what we do. But I gotta go. I know I gotta go. But thank you, Lord. Yes, I'm tired, but you're gonna give me sweet sleep, and I'm gonna be refreshed, and I'm gonna be in your presence. That's better than sleep. You know, I mean, it's all on. You got to talk yourself out of these things, because you know, unfortunately, we're in these natural bodies, and they feel things. And sometimes the things that they feel can get us into trouble. Look at Ephesians. Ephesians 1. I'm going to share a few verses out of Phillips' translation, starting with verse 15. Remember, God said, first of all, prayer, supplications, and the giving of thanks be made for all men. Sometimes we forget that last part. We forget the giving of thanks. We sometimes forget for all men. We immediately go to kings and all that are in authority. But here, Paul says, since then, beginning verse 15, I heard of this faith of yours in the Lord Jesus and the practical way in which you are expressing it towards fellow Christians. I thank God continually for you and never give up praying for you. And this is my prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the all-glorious Father will give you spiritual wisdom and insight to know more of him, that you may receive that inner illumination of the Spirit which will make you realize how great is the hope to which he is calling you and the magnificence and splendor of the inheritance promised to Christians and how tremendous is the power available to us who believe in God. And I said, thank you, God, because you gave this to us. You gave this to them. So Paul kept, he kept saying it. He kept thanking God for it. I'm sure the people didn't always act like they had it. But it didn't matter. He said, I thank God. I never give up praying. I thank God continually for you. When's the last time you thank God for someone that made you feel like you had a last nerve? And I'm not saying, God, I thank you I didn't run into them today. Okay. No, you thank you, Father. I don't know why you're putting us together, but I thank you because your will's going to be done with us. I mean, you start thanking God for people, people stop seeming to get on your nerves. And you think they changed. No, you changed. You start seeing them the way your Father sees them, and so you give thanks for them. Verse 18 says, and do not get drunk with wine, still in Ephesians 5, for that is debauchery, but ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. Speak out to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, make offering praise with voices and instruments and making melody in all your hearts to the Lord. And at all times and for everything, giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. See, when you're giving thanks, it's like you're intoxicated. No matter, because think about it, no matter what happens, you're screaming out thanks to God. Screaming out like a drunk person. Drunk on the Holy Ghost. Bubbling over with thanksgiving. Regardless, and the key is, folks, regardless of what comes, regardless of what happens, You're just going to keep giving God thanks every single moment of every single day in all situations, because do you believe that God is going to work everything together for your good because you love him and you're called according to his purpose? Well, then everything you encounter is part of what's being worked out for your good. Thank you. Just like, thank you, you need to get excited. Because, oh boy, I didn't even know I needed this, but Lord, when you work this out and you just start getting excited and you start expecting great things to come of any circumstance that you're in, because God has said he's going to work it out together for your good. The only question in your mind should be, do I love him? That's all. And am I called according to his purpose? It means, do you love God and are you doing what he said? And since that answer is yes, what is there to worry about? What is there to be sad about? What is there to be thankless about? You just keep on thanking God. Philippians 4:6, still in the Phillips translation. It says, don't worry over anything, whatever. Don't worry. I mean, don't worry over anything. You know why? You can't worry and be thankful at the same time. Worry says God can't do this. That's what worry says. So every time you worry, you're not in faith. You believe that this thing is going to happen and there is anyone can do about it. You don't think, but God. You just start worrying. This says, don't worry over anything whatsoever. Don't operate in unbelief in anything whatsoever. That's what it's saying. Tell God every detail of your need in earnest and thankful prayer. I'm like, how do you do that? Father, I'm on my way doing what you told me. And this car ran the red light. You ran the red light. I thank you, Father, that you've kept me and you've kept him, and you're going to work all this out. I thank you that my car is going to be restored or replaced. Either one is fine. I thank you that his vehicle or her vehicle will be restored or replaced. Doesn't matter if they got a citation for driving while under the influence. I thank you, Father, that they'll find leniency and that you'll give them wisdom. You're being thankful about every detail, not complaining. Why'd this have to happen to me? I'm on my way to visit someone at the hospital and the devil sends somebody to run through the red light and he's drunk anyway. God, you need to fix him. that's what we do. That's what we do. Now I'm going to have to pay $1,000 deductible. No, I wanted a $500. Then you get mad with your spouse. I wanted a $500, but no, she wanted a low rate. So now you go home and you're in an argument, okay? Because you got a $1,000 deductible. And so, see, he told me not to come this way. Now I got to hear this because I didn't go that way. If you'd gone the way I told you, you wouldn't have run into this car. And you just work yourself up into stuff because you're not thankful. You don't trust God that he's got it all covered, that he's going to work it out for your good. That's not living a life of thankfulness. That's living a life of worry. That's living a life of faithlessness. That's living a life of unbelief, and that's not who we are designed to be. We're designed to live in faith. We're designed to be thankful. We have to refuse to worry and just say, Father, I believe everything that your word says, period. So I'm giving you thanks. No matter what happens, I am giving you, Lord, thanks. Now, remember what happened with Daniel? He had a habit of praying and giving thanks every single day, three times a day, in the window, publicly. He wasn't hiding, publicly. And folks that, you know, wanted to bring him down a few notches, I guess. See, there are always going to be people that think you have too much for who you are. And they're going to try and do things so that some of that stuff can be removed from you and given to them. All right? But you need to stay thankful. Not cop an attitude with them. Not sick God on them. Pray for them. Thank God for blessing them. Thank God for showing him that he loves them just as much as he loves you. Thank God that he'll open up a door and provide an opportunity for you to sit down and sup with them and share with them how they can also experience the favor of God. But there are always people going to be out there that are going to try and do that. You have to keep doing what God called you to do anyway. Daniel was aware of the law that was passed, that for 30 days you can only ask anybody, make any petitions to the king. He was aware of that. The king wasn't aware that he was being bamboozled, being used. But in Daniel 6, it says, so verse 9, so King Darius signed the writing in the decree. He signed it. He made it into law. Verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God as he's done previously. See, when you live a life of thanksgiving, threats don't faze you. Doesn't faze you. Because every single time you say thank you, you are reinforcing your faith. You are reinforcing your belief that God supplies your every need. You're reinforcing that thanks be to God will always cause you to triumph in Christ Jesus. Every time you say thank you, you're reinforcing those things. And so your faith grows and grows and grows, and you become drunk. And I was reading in that, and it said Daniel had an excellent spirit was found in him. And I started thinking about that. And as I was thinking about that, I said, Lord, we have your Holy Spirit inside of us. You can't get more excellent than that. And so I'm thinking, yeah, Daniel had an excellent spirit. We have one also. Then I got to 636. You think about this. 1 Corinthians 15 says, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Right? Jesus said to us that when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, talking about the Holy Ghost, he's going to guide us into all truth. He's going to testify of Jesus. So the Holy Ghost is always going to remind us everything we need to know about Jesus. And he's going to guide us into all truth, right? And he's going to do something else. He's going to show us things to come. Right? You sure about that? So that means no matter what we're going through, the Holy Ghost is going to remind us what Jesus said about it. He's going to remind us. He's going to guide us to the solution. And he's going to show us being delivered from it. You think he said he's going to show us things to come. When you're in trouble, what's going to come? Redemption. Deliverance. The reason we don't see it is we get flustered. And we allow worry to creep in. And our spiritual eyes get blinded. And we don't see ourselves being delivered. We don't see ourselves healthy. We don't see ourselves walking around pain-free. So we don't give thanks. We start begging and pleading. We become fearful. But we have the Holy Ghost who's showing us ourselves well. He's showing us prosperity. He's showing us that. He's going to show us things to come. He's going to guide us into all truth. We're children of the Most High God. The same God that said, I wish you prosper and be in health. Prosper, be in health, even as your soul prospers. I said it a number of times tonight, I shall supply your every need. And he didn't say unless or except. And he put the Holy Ghost in us to show us that. Why can't we just say thank you? No matter what comes, you need to see yourself out of it. Like children say, it's an A and B conversation, see yourself out of it. Okay? And say thank you. Why? Because my God shall supply. And it doesn't matter what it looks like. I don't care what they say. Who are they anyway? They're not God. So why am I giving any credence to what they say? Unless I'm just going to use an opportunity to even give more intense thanks to my God. Because he, understand this, he's going to show you the way out. Because they say he's going to guide you into all truth. So you're going to see, he's going to show you the escape route. And then he's going to show you taking it. You're going to see yourself getting out of it. That's what he's there for. Why? Because God doesn't want us to ever be discouraged. He wants us to always be able to raise our hands and say thank you. And he's provided everything that we need to do it. We have to stop looking at circumstances and focus on who we are and what we have. And what we have is God's word, which is infallible. You've heard this phrase before. God never makes a mistake. And you're not going to be his first one. So if you know that, why wouldn't you say thank you? In all things, for all things, no matter what comes, you say thank you. Thank you. Just want to share just a few verses just to kind of place emphasis in the Psalms. Psalm 18, verse 49. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen. Among the heathen. I will give thanks to thee, O Lord, among the heathen. That means you run away, something happens, you back and you run to a private place. Thank you, Lord. No. It's an opportunity, you take it. Thank you, Lord. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Well, that's what Paul and Silas did. It says they gave thanks, and it says the prisoners heard them. So they weren't whispering about it. They were singing, praying and singing psalms and just having a little praise fest. Why? Because they knew God was going to do something. How did they know that? They hadn't finished doing what he had told them to do. Psalm 75, Verse 1. Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks, for that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. Keep moving forward. Psalm 92, verse 1. Let's read this together. Are you there? Let's read this. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Psalm 107. Well, you can see it a number of times in Psalm 107. Let's read this one together. Verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is, and his mercy endureth forever. There are about five or six scriptures that say, oh, the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. I mean, if that's all you know, all you can remember, in any situation, you just walked around, for the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. For the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. For the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. And you keep, as you keep saying it, you start to become drunk with it. And you'll find yourself running around, flinging hands in the air, screaming out, for the Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever. And you don't even remember what it was that you were concerned about in the beginning. Now all you're thinking about is that the Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever. And once you realize that, guess what you scream out? Thank you! Thank you! In Psalm 140, how many of you are righteous? Well, this verse says, surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. The upright, how many of you are upright? The upright shall dwell in thy presence. That's God's attitude. Surely the righteous give thanks. Surely the upright will dwell in my presence. Why? Because in everything, you're giving thanks because you understand it's the will of God concerning you. That's all I have for you tonight. In everything, we give thanks.